This evening's reading is from Psalm 25, verses 4 to 7, can be found on page 556 of the Church Bibles. 556. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Amen.
Have you had an experience of standing in a crossroad? Which way to move forward? Which way would lead us to a correct destination? Donny and I are not good in geography. We are highly dependent on the navigator. We have improved to an extent, saying that we do not use navigator to drive from Gans Hill roundabout to Ashes Drive. We tried first. So you can imagine. For a few years ago, one of our friends invited for a Christmas party. It was a party for a dinner around 7 p.m. in December. You can imagine something similar like now. So we entered the postcode and we selected the shortest route and we started our journey. The navigator was beautifully leading us until we reached the crossroad, and then it stopped talking. So we don't know how to proceed further. There was right, whether to turn left. We don't have any idea. So randomly, we chose one of those and we proceed. And we eventually ended up blocked by a barricade. And there was a sign showing that it is a zoo. And our navigator woke up by then and said, "You have reached your destination." 2,000 years ago, the wise men, with not much technology of advancement during that time, they were traveling from east and they reached a place very close to where they wanted to be. They were following a star, the Star of Bethlehem. And they were traveling from east, far from Bethlehem and Jerusalem. People say that it must be a place of Persia or modern-day Iran. And they were traveling from that route, and the star was leading them, and finally they destined at Jerusalem. And they went and talked with the people concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, and they diverted him or directed him to Bethlehem. And we know the story. Because of King Herod, they have to take a different route to go back because they don't want to reveal the truth. These wise men, they wanted to go and greet the baby Jesus. They must have prepared this for a long time ago, for this time to come, to go and see the child Jesus. They are from Persia, we saw that. So they might have read the prophecy of Daniel because Daniel was once lived as a chief of the court sees in Persia. So they might have come across Daniel's prophecy, and this prophecy in chapter 9, it includes the timeline of the birth of Messiah. They might also have heard about Balaam's prophecy. Balaam was living in a town called Pethor on the Euphrates River closer to Persia. So that prophecy, Balaam was prophesying, a star will be coming out of Jacob. So the same anticipation and excitement of preparation would have been with the disciples of Jesus, with the followers of Jesus, when Jesus told them he is going to leave them soon. Jesus had that conversation with the followers right before his death. He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus was saying here that he and the Father are one. And he is the way that we can go through him to the Father God. And he will provide us the truth in guiding us, in helping us to go to the Father. And he gives us the life for now and forever. He is the only way, he is the only truth, and he is the only life. What an absolute and simple truth. Psalmist must have observed these things in the Lord God the Father. And he has recorded that in Psalm 25. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good." When you read this passage carefully, and if you go into the depth of the passage, you can see the words, "Show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and you are God, my Savior." These are all like a preparation process for entering into God's salvation plan. Salvation is nothing but a saving or redeeming us. We cannot save ourselves. When we are trapped in a dangerous cage, we can believe on the person's ability and power, and we can give ourselves for him to rescue us. A trust needs to be developed, and that can be developed only after seeing the power or the capacity of the person, or otherwise we will not seek for that man's help. Firstly, David identified that the Lord God is his Savior. Once he recognized that Lord God is going to save him from all his difficulties, he says, "I put my hope in you, Lord, and I can wait for you patiently the whole day long." It is a salvation plan, what David has recorded that. And this psalm is a psalm of trouble. David was talking about his enemies, the treacherous, and affliction, and destitute. We don't know when David writes this psalm, but the wordings here, leading to many of the theologians, think that it must be during the time when his son Absalom was overthrowing his kingdom. And he wanted to take the place of his father. He wanted to become a king. But whatever the timeline it may be, it is a time of trouble for David. And we all can connect to that to some extent. We all go through good days and bad days. And the bad days, they mark such an impression in our life and cause us to live a defeated life. The Lord Jesus alone can save us, deliver us from that defeated life. David was saying here, "Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." I presume David was raising this agony as it was before he encountered with Jesus the Savior. We, the new covenant people, can boldly say that Jesus is able to forgive and forget all our transgressions of the past. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, has offered himself as a single sacrifice for all our sins, good for all the time. Through that one sacrifice, he made us perfect and holy forever. And we don't need to go and do the offerings of sacrifices, such sacrifices, again and again. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, 17 says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." We are new creation. There is no more condemnation about our past. He has set all right already. And so, there is no necessity to go and ask the Lord again and again for his forgiveness of our past sins. He has already said done. It is already done, all right. And we don't need to feel guilty of our past sins. But having said that, we need to go to the Lord Jesus every day, almost every moment, to seek for his forgiveness for our daily sins. Repentance and forgiveness is what we need to have, our relationship closer with the Lord again, more and more. The King Josiah, you might have read about that. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. One of our friends adopted their son from overseas. She wanted to show a great love and want to provide the best for the child, what the child was lagging in the preceding years. And they wanted to give fine quality food and everything to that child. And also the child was because of nutrition deficit. Despite all their best efforts, including consulting the specialists, the child was growing only few centimeters, very little. After 3 years of struggle, they found that there is something severe food intolerances in the child's body. Once they identified that, they removed those items from the food. And the child and her son started growing few inches in few months. While she was grieving that she had been unwittingly feeding the boy with the food that was impairing its growth, she rejoiced as well at the surge of this health. I suspect Josiah, the King Josiah, must have similarly felt the same when the book of law was lost. And then it was founded in the temple after many years. Just as my friend grieved, having misunderstandingly hindering the growth of the boy, Josiah was grieving, having innocently missing God's fullest and best plan for his people. Although he was commended for doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, he learnt better now how to honor the Lord after reading the book of the law. And with this newfound knowledge, he was able to lead the people to worship the God again, as God instructed in the book of the law. As we learn through the Bible how to honor the Lord, we may grieve sometimes, for we have fallen short of the will of God. But we can be comforted that God's grace can lead us, can take us gently into the deeper understanding of his word. We need to thank God. Through Bible or through his word, he is leading us to live a life that we can please God forever. And we need to ask sorry to the Lord for what we have not done good in the past. David, the king, when he was writing this verse, he was asking God to show God's ways, to teach God's paths and guide in God's truth. He was not asking God to show his personal ways to accomplish whatever he wants, and he does not ask God to teach or clear the path for his personal benefit. This should be the motto of every Christian believer. Asking God to show God's ways and teach only his paths and leading us only in his truth. Yep, we all start divinely, Lord, let your will be done. But as the time progresses, seeing the situation around, either if it is not progressing as we desire, or if it is not answered as we wish, our prayer and search will get shifted. And we try to put a list before the Lord. And to some extreme, we go and teach the Lord how our ways to be done. And we go to the other extreme of guiding the Lord how it needs to be done. That is really a sad part. And we need to always stick on to this truth. Lord, please show us your ways and trust in him as David was trusting. Though he was a monarch and thousands of soldiers were under his command, he knows his position was below the Lord. And he was going unto him, patiently waiting. And he knows that whatever his will, whatever his imagination, or whatever his effort will end in rubbish. But he trusted that the Lord's way and the Lord who can teach him and guide him will end up in profitable. So he knows that. That's why he was asking, Lord, I'm highly depending on you. I don't want to depend on my military. I don't want to depend on my family. I don't want to depend on my own strength, but I depend on you, Lord. It was like a childlike attitude. We need to have a clear thinking between childlike and childish attitude. We need to go to the Lord, because children, if you see that, they are teachable. They go humbly before the Lord, before any adult. They want to listen. They are good in listening. When you tell a story, they will sit and listen to your story, listening and learning. And they are not prone to pride and hypocrisy. Sometimes, because of our own pride and hypocrisy, we neglect God's ways, God's paths, and God's truth. Mark 10:15, it emphasizes again, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. The Lord Jesus himself is saying that we need to have that childlike, humble attitude. To summarize this, show me your ways. We need to see, whenever we receive commandment from the Lord, whenever we read instructions from the Lord, the best thing to compare that is with Jesus or with any of the apostles. Whether they have done it, we can follow that. Jesus did that. Show me your ways. Jesus was praying to the Lord. Peter was saying in 1 Peter 2:21, Jesus always saying that, I listen to my Father's words and I want to be an example for what he has taught. And Paul was saying that, I follow the example of Christ, so you follow me. Teach me your paths. Jesus does that. And we know that. The narrower is the path for us to go through. Smaller the gate, it is not wider. The wider gate can accommodate anyone. Anyone can enter it easily, because it gives full worldly freedom. They can go and reach wherever they like. But our path is narrowed down. And this is all good. When it is limited, when the choice is getting narrower, it is for our benefit, following in whatever Jesus is teaching us to go through. Lead me in your truth. Jesus does that. Jesus said, I am the shepherd. My sheep can understand my voice. When I whisper, it will follow the master. So he can lead us in the truth. Shall we pray?